This episode is brought to you by Tending to You. Tending to You provides mobile bartenders and waitstaff for private events in Louisiana and the greater Houston area. Learn more at tendingtoyou.com. That's tending, the number two, and the letter U.com.
On this episode of Sold by Todd Richards, I am so happy to have one of my, I always have friends on here, it seems like, but this dude here, we go way back. He has a nickname called Big Swole. He probably has the most massive arms you'll see in the show. He comes out of New Jersey, which we won't hold against him, but he was at Le Cordon Bleu in Tucker, Georgia, what makes him an Atlantean right now. And his resume is so impressive. He started as a Food Network TV personality. He's an ambassador, a brand ambassador for Nissan USA and Big Green Egg. And Big Green Egg, of course, is a big fan of mine. He is a cigar smoker, and I know he has some really great tips on that as well. But he's made so many great appearances. Good Morning America, Food Network, The Today Show, Steve Harvey Show, Hallmark Home and Family, HLN, and so many more. If I keep on talking about it, we won't have any time to have a conversation. So welcome my one of my dearest friends, culinary brother, and he's hobbling around on one foot. So I used to call him Clutch, now call him Crutch because he broke his foot. You know, old men shouldn't be playing basketball anymore. That's the only thing I should say. But please welcome Chef David Rose to Sold by Todd Richards. Thank you for coming on the show.
Thank you so much for having me, Chef. That was a mouthful. Yes. First off, New Jersey, number one in my book. I live, bleed, and die for New Jersey. Go New York Giants. And if I'm old, that means you ancient, bro.
I'm not ancient. I'm just senior. That's, you know, it's a difference. You know, there's so much semantics going on here, but I'm just senior. I'm not old. I'm just senior, you know?
Okay. All I'm going to say is let me just borrow the AARP card.
We good.
A membership has its benefits, as they say.
True story. Thanks for having me, Chef. I appreciate it, man.
My pleasure. So I know you're from New Jersey, but where is your family's heritage from?
My family, I am one of eight kids, and everybody except me was born in Jamaica. So I'm the American-born one, but my family is Jamaican. Jamaican roots from the land in which Bob Marley, jerk chicken, and that green stuff comes from.
Right. it's funny because you can see it evidenced in the way that you cook on the grill, that jerk chicken that you're speaking about. But I had the pleasure of meeting, I think I met your dad maybe at the Big Green Egg October for a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
I met there. And I can tell that, you know, food is just such a big part of your family. And I guess with seven other siblings, what was it like growing up cooking in that household?
Oh, man, I did more eating, less cooking growing up. But it was awesome, man. It was kind of a thing where, you know, eight kids, you know, you kind of got to get in where you fit in. And, you know, it was a lot of food, a lot of great, you know, holidays, a lot of great barbecues. And I was always a big eater and infatuated with food. So mom would always kind of, you know, portion out our food for everybody. And some of my favorite things growing up were oxtails and curry goat. So like, you know, if my brother or sister weren't home and I'd see their plate in the microwave or in the oven, I'd go and snag extra oxtail from every other, you know, plate so I can have more oxtail. Don't tell them.
Right.
Well. But, you know, I've just always been a lover of food. And, you know, I think my appetite for cooking, you know, kind of, you know, grew the older I got in my teenage years and when I came down here. Because, you know, they say the way to a woman's heart is, you know, diamonds. I say good food.
Right.
And, you know, I realized that at an early age. I was like, you know what? There's something to this. You know, there's something to this, and just coming from the tri-state area, just a huge melting pot where I can recollect having friends, you know, from all over the world, you know, where I've had some of my earliest experiences eating some real extravagant food like foie gras pate at, you know, at 10, gnocchi at 11, Korean pancakes at 12, having latkes and, you know, matzo ball soup at 8, where I just come from such a huge, you know, melting pot, which is the tri-state area. And I love it, man. I love it. Food is life. Life is food. You know, some people, you know, they eat to live. I live to eat, man. And I said it before, I'd say it again, you know, like food is love. And like to know somebody, to truly know them, I think is tasting their food. And I like to, you know, to let people taste a little bit of me every time I cook, you know, that's metaphorically speaking.
That's a whole different conversation, but metaphorically speaking. But did you stand by the stove when your parents were cooking?
Oh, yeah, no doubt.
I mean, it seems like, you know, just in understanding, you know, the way you're passionate about it, it seemed like you were always observing when someone was cooking as well, the way you're describing food. I don't believe that you can just get that sense as a grown up. I believe it has to be, you know, ingrained in you as a kid. And it seemed like you probably stood by the stove a lot. And was it cast iron? You know, was it whatever pot you can find for those oxtails? What did your mom cook those oxtails in?
Yeah, cast iron, Dutch oven. She had this, you know, this big old aluminum pan or pot that was like, you know, the braising pot. She had her, you know, her little cast iron pan for frying fish, frying steak, you know, searing out the oxtail. And both my parents were chefs. Mom was a chef. Dad was a chef, career chefs. And mom was a chef at a nursing home. And dad was a chef at a villa for nuns. So, you know, when I was sick or get out of work earlier or a day off from school, you know, I'd always be there with them and just kind of see the operation, which is like, you know, 10 to 15 people coming together on the line and cooking, you know, hundreds of people, and just the method to it, just the, you know, the love, the passion, the technique to it, you know, kind of like, you know, implanted a little seed in me at a young age. And just from there, man, I just knew I love food and I love to cook, but I never thought in a million years that would lead me to where I am today. But, you know, I'm thankful, you know, because where I'm at is because of food and my love for food. So I'm thankful and humble for the opportunities food has provided me.
So you're a first generation American, but, you know, you're second generation chef, which is a story of its own. And then you went to culinary school, and you don't hear a lot of people talking about culinary schools right now. I'm one on the fence that I tell people before you go to culinary school, you should probably have some restaurant experience before you commit to spending that type of money or committing yourself to, you know, that 3-year time period. What was your experience in culinary school?
My culinary experience, man, it was awesome, man. I was the second, I believe, or third graduating class from Le Cordon Bleu here in Atlanta, Georgia. And I truly loved it, man, you know, where I already had the love for cooking. I already had the passion for cooking. I just think, you know, going to culinary school, it helped me hone and sharpen and heighten those skills, heighten that knowledge, and just, you know, kind of, you know, made me sharper. You know, as iron sharpens iron, you know, you make each other sharper and more true as a blade. So, you know, I moved to Atlanta back in 2003. And I kind of came down on a whim. You know, I came down in 2003 when I was 21. And back then, you know, for the older folks in my age range and older, there was a little place called Justin's back then. Justin's on Peachtree. And Justin's was, you know, that was the spot. It was a spot owned by Puff Daddy, Diddy. You might know him as Sean Combs. And my cousin, he was a bartender there. And I came down for my 21st birthday, and he knew everybody, all the club owners, all the bartenders, all the servers, all the waitresses. Right. And we went everywhere. We went to Visions. We went to Clubhouse. And I just fell in love with Atlanta. I packed my little Mustang up. It was February 2003. I visited. By June of 2003, I came down, and I was bartending, serving. I'm career hospitality. So I've been in hospitality since I was 13, 14. First job was a busboy. And I was trying to figure out my next move. And I saw a commercial that said, Le Cordon Bleu, realize your culinary dreams. And something just kind of resonated. I was like, you know what? I love to cook. Let me check out the campus. So I checked the campus out. And just from jump, I saw the curriculum. I saw the kitchens. I saw the courses provided. I saw what they're offering. And I knew that was it for me. And you could ask anybody that knows me, family, friends, close relatives. the words David Rose and academic scholar. Never gonna hear those words in the same sentence.
Right.
I'm saying, I ain't no fool, but you know, those two words gonna be in the same sentence. But for some reason, when I enrolled in Le Cordon Bleu, I just, you know, it consumed me and I just threw myself wholeheartedly into it because it didn't feel like school. You know, it didn't feel like school. And these classes were going back then. It was a class where it was 5 days a week, 7:30 to 1:30. I was still working full time and getting like 3 hours of sleep. But I loved it. It was great. I was just like a sponge where every day I looked forward to creating with my hands, learning. And I graduated at the top of my class, summa cum laude. And, you know, I really enjoyed it and was passionate about it. And, you know, the saying goes, you know, if you're passionate and love something so much, it never feels like work. And it did not feel like school to me. So I just knew from then that it was for me. So it's not for everybody. I know some great chefs that didn't go to culinary school. I believe you didn't go and you're an amazing chef, Todd. And, you know, it's just, it works for some, it doesn't work for some. But I think for me, I got out of it what I put into it.
I think that's a great way to tell someone the story. And the reason why I want to ask that question about culinary school is because for me, it's irresponsible to tell someone one side of culinary school. And I hope that, you know, some of the listeners are contemplating going to culinary school and they take, you know, or look at both sides of this coin that we're presenting and make the best thing. And you said it perfectly. What you put into it is what you're going to get out of it. You know, if you start with bad ingredients, you're going to get a bad soup, you know, no matter what you do with it. I want to switch up a little bit because, and you were talking about Justin's and you were talking about Atlanta in 03, you know, and I remember Solomon used to run the whole place.
Solomon.
Yeah, he worked with me at the Four Seasons Hotel for a very long time. See, I say I'm senior, not old, but I'm senior here. But you bring up an interesting point about ownership or Black restaurant ownership we had here in 03 and comparing the landscape of to where we see it right now. What do you think the current landscape of Black restaurant ownership, and I will put nightclubs in there, is like compared to that era of 03 when you first arrived?
Honestly, man, I think it was a much richer culture back then, as far as like Atlanta as a whole, where you had the Justins, you had the Shark Bar, you had the Visions, you had like, you know, anywhere you kind of run up and down the underground area. Yeah. You know, you had West Side. Like, I think there was a lot more culture as far as, like, you know, from a just a general overall Atlanta experience where I think, you know, now there's more little pockets where it's kind of tucked away. Mm-hmm. And other cultures and other restaurants, other chefs have moved in where these places where, you know, great Black chefs or great Black establishments used to be, they're no longer there and replaced, you know, maybe by Starbucks or, you know, a bubble tea place or, you know, a sandwich spot, what have you. So to me, in the, 17 years I've been here, it's definitely been a shift in the culture. It's still there, but it's more so, you know, you're kind of digging through the weeds to kind of find it. But when you find them, they're amazing. Like you, yeah, Chef Deborah Von Trist, you have, you know, Chef Scott Lee Innes, you know, great chefs here in Atlanta, Georgia. But to me, I think they were more readily available back then. But now I think, you know, we're definitely getting now more the accolades and more recognition now.
It seems to me that, and it is great. It seems to me, though, that there is a switch out of restaurants overall for a lot of up and coming chefs in the city of Atlanta, more into catering. I would say a lot of personal chef, television personality like yourself. And on the other side of the break, I really want to talk about how you started into the television personality part and then really explore, you know, where people can learn that skill set from and hopefully take on that part of culinary as well. So we're going to take a quick break here. You're listening to Soul by Todd Richards.
This episode is brought to you by Tending to You. Tending to You provides mobile bartenders and waitstaff for private events in Louisiana and the greater Houston area. Their dedicated and capable team specializes in traditional sit-down dinner gatherings, past appetizer service, buffet-style meals, and bartending refreshing customized cocktails and beverages. They provide all their own tools needed for a pop-up bar, including drinkware, garnishes, napkins, and more to be set up for success. They also come equipped with trays, gloves, and cleaning products, which allows Tending to You to provide a superior level of service. Learn more at tendingtoyou.com. That's tending, the number two, and the letter U.com.
We're back with great chef David Rose here in Atlanta. And David and I on previously were talking about the next evolution of chefs in Atlanta that have kind of moved away from traditional restaurant settings into personal chefs, catering, online, on camera, and social media personalities. And so, David, where did this charisma that you have on television come from? It seems like it's natural. It seems like you always had to fight for some spotlight among other seven siblings, but where did all this come from?
Man, I have a crazy family, crazy in a good way, where, like, I kid you not, literally, I'm one of eight. My mom is one of 13.
Oh, wow.
My dad is one of nine. And then their kids have, you know, five, six kids, and their kids have two, three kids. So the word huge for my family and upbringing is an understatement. And literally, I kid you not, everybody in my family is a comedian. And every time we get together, we roasting each other, talking about jokes. My uncles, my aunts in their 60s, 70s, 80s, you know, still cracking jokes, very lively. So it's from the culture, I really think, you know, where Jamaicans, you know, just in general, you know, my family comes from dirt poor, poverty stricken Jamaica, where my mom told me stories of, you know, sharing clothes and shoes, you know, four or five siblings in one bed, but yet they were still thankful, yet they were still humble, yet they still found joy and happiness and positivity in life. And just that light that they all emit, that, you know, they came to America. By them coming to America, raising their kids, putting them through school, putting them through college, opportunities they didn't have, those are success stories in themselves. So seeing that growing up, being around my siblings, being around my cousins, it's just contagious where, you know, it's always a laugh factory, man. So growing up, I've just always been around that. And, like, you know, if you don't have jokes, if you're not on, you're going to get roasted. So you always have to think on your toes. And it just translates, man. We're like, you know, my father always told me, if you want something in life, work hard. And, you know, sooner or later, it'll happen. So my thing is, like, the same person, you can attest to this, Todd, the same person you see on TV is the same crazy person you see in person.
Absolutely. I would say there's no difference. Absolutely. There's no difference. No difference, you know.
Not at all.
I would say that, you know, watching you on Food Network, mm-hmm. which is a marvel because of, I wouldn't say that the Food Network has lack of diversity. It's just that they pick and choose what segment of the population or they look at our food as mono, you know, just one way. And watching you cook on them, I saw you pull so many different groups of food into your cuisine, but it still mm-hmm. seemed very rooted out of your heritage. You say that you attribute that to living in New Jersey. Where does that diversity, that food diversity palette come from?
Man, it's just my love of food, man, where, like, I've always been an adventurous eater, where I've always tried anything, I've always ate anything, except for chitlins. I'll tell you that story in a second. You know, food is just, I've always been a lover of food. And just having, you know, being exposed to so many friends of different races, ethnicities, just since early childhood, you know, I've just, it's exposure through that, where I've had friends that were Korean, Jewish, Armenian, Chinese. And if they ask me, like, you know, if I want to try something, I've always just said yes. Except for chitlins, you know, I've always said yes. And I just think, you know, through that adventurous palate, that just kind of, you know, whatever I like, wherever I visit, whatever I taste, I just always try to, you know, kind of put that in my food as well, you know. But as far as chitlins, mm-hmm. that is the one thing I will not try, because one time this girl invited me over for dinner, and she said, you know, real cute girl, lovely girl. And she was like, my grandma's cooking tonight. You want to come over? So I come over, I walk in the house, and, you know, I smell something like the septic tank is broken, you right. know? So I walk in there, and I'm like, yo, is everything okay? Is, like, the toilet broken? Like, the toilet got clogged up? Like, what's going on? Mm-hmm. And she was like, no, you silly. Grandma's making chitlins. It smelled like S-H-I-T, you know? And, you know, I went over. She's like, come check it out, baby. It looked like a pot of gray potted meat. And I just couldn't get over the smell. And I'll try anything, Todd. So we sat down. I was pushing it around. I ate the college. I ate the Mac. That was good. But I just couldn't get around the smell of chitlins. So ever since then, it's just kind of like, you know, that red scarlet letter, you know, where I can't do it.
I have to get my sister to make you some. She has a way of doing them, which are delicious. I believe it's the amount of onions. I believe her onion to chitlin ratio is probably the best. But another question that I really want to ask you in tying, you know, these two questions together is really, you know, with the appearance on Food Network. And then now, you know, you representing so many different brands, Nissan and Big Green Egg. What opportunity has that given you? And how do you encourage people to also follow in your footsteps?
A lot of what I do, a lot of the driving force is, you know, I really think that as people, as chefs, as any professional, or as in life in general, you know, it's your job, it's your responsibility to take your parents' success and then level up your family. And it's all about building generational wealth, not just through, you know, monetary gains, but through knowledge, through exposure, and through opportunities, and providing exposure and opportunities. So where what I'm doing for my future children, their children, but also, you know, the little, you know, Black boy, Hispanic boy, children of many minorities who are underrepresented, to look at me and know that, you know, outside of sports, outside of music, outside of, you know, being a social media Instagram superstar, there are tangible careers you can achieve and do amazing things with it as long as you do the work. And we spoke about this on Sunday as far as people asking, how can you get on TV? How can you get on with this brand? How can you get down with this, you know, this network or that? You got to put the work in, man. Like, you know, for a long time, I was slaving in, you know, the Four Seasons Kitchen, Ocean Air Kitchen, catering, you know, making, you know, very little to no profit margin at first, then slowly kind of getting my name up, getting good clients. Nothing comes overnight. And even with the TV thing, it still takes a lot of time, but, like, you know, through the grace of God, through the grace of just, you know, having hardworking Jamaican parents, I just never gave up on myself, them, or my dreams. And you're going to get there. It's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when. So if you could hold on, hold tight for that when, it'll be so much that worth it. So much worth it.
It seems like, you know, you have a measurement of success, though, that could be different than what, you know, everyone thinks that chefs should be. I would say for myself, I have shifted out of necessarily, you know, needing or fulfilling, you know, being in front of the camera. You know, I do it as part of what I do, but mine is the same as you talk, generational wealth, opening more restaurants, employing more people, you know, making sure that my family is well taken care of for generations. And that is a part of the way to do it. But it seems like what you're saying is that you can have a pathway to success in this field. And it does not necessarily mean that you have to have a physical restaurant or a catering company to do so, that there are many new avenues in culinary that they weren't before maybe 10, 15 years ago.
110%. And there was no real mold or blueprint or plan to exactly what I'm doing. It's just whatever I do, it's synergistic. It's organic to who I am, my likes, my pleasures, and my passions, where I've somehow managed to bring together Harley Davidson's, grilling, fitness, you know, big trucks. And like, you know, I made it work, man. And just, I think whatever you do, the best advice I give to anybody is just being organic to who you are, man. Like, you know, really just truly just, you know, be true to who you are. Follow your own path. Don't compromise. Because there's been a couple times where I could have, you know, fast-forwarded stuff by compromising. But I wanted to do what I did my way. That way, whenever I get to where I'm getting, whatever I had done to get there sits well with me. And I'm happy and I'm prideful of how I got there. So just like be true to who you are, man. Like be honest with yourself and just be yourself. You know, don't try to put up a facade or you know, convey yourself as how you think you might want to be seen. Like if you stay true to yourself and people can see that and pick up on that sincerity in your delivery, your personality, who you are, the rest take care of itself.
I agree with you so much in that statement. So what's next? What's next for Chef David Rose? I mean, what television show are you conquering? Are you making a new show? What can we look forward to seeing you on next?
Man, I would love to tell you, Todd, but they're contracts.
Right.
Just contracts as far as what I can and cannot talk about. But I will say that there is a huge announcement coming up with me and a huge food home delivery service, which will be coming out shortly. And I will say TV shows, there's something, a couple different projects in the works. So 2021 will be the best year yet. I will say that.
So just don't forget about us as little people out here, you know.
Right, you know, that, man.
Don't forget, you know, when you get that Emmy award, you know. You know, we will be more than happy to host your celebration party in Atlanta.
Bro, you big time, man. You're talking about, bro. You big time too, man. It's just, I think I could never be that person though. It's just not in me because I there's not a pretentious bone in my body, man. I just like to laugh and have a good time. And of course you gotta make money, you know, but I just wanna have a laugh and have a good time. You know, if I can laugh and have a good time and build the brand and do something that's organic to who I am, I'm all about it. I'm all about it.
Tell the people where they can find you on social media, please.
Yes, you can find me at the website, chefdavidrose.com. You can find me on Instagram, Chef David Rose, Facebook, Chef David Rose, and Twitter, which I rarely use. I'm trying to be better about that. Is David Rose at Chef David Rose. So type in Chef David Rose, and I should pop up. And if you type in just David Rose, I'll be second. First will be David Rose off his TV show Schitt's Creek on Netflix, which I love. But I'm battling him for that number one spot right now.
Well, let me give you another interesting fact about Googling yourself, Chef David Rose. If you put Chef David Rose, for some reason it says Chef David Rose net worth. And as curious as I am, I clicked on it and it said, Chef David, $60 million. And I was like, holy crap.
Oh, Lord have mercy, yes. Praise, I don't know if that check is clear, to the wire has come through yet, but I'm waiting on that
$60 million. I'm waiting on it too, because I had to get my cuts since I discovered that for you, you know, so.
Hey, that's worth 1%. I'll give you 1%.
Hey, 1% of nothing is still nothing, you know, so. I appreciate your time. I know that you are a very busy person. You rushed home to get this podcast recorded. And of course, I always will see you in the stratosphere on social media, but it was so glad to see you so many times this month. And I hope to see you on a Big Green Egg soon. And you've been listening to Soul by Todd Richards with my guest this week, Chef David Rose. Soul by Todd Richards is powered by Simplecast. Thanks for listening to Heritage Radio Network. Food radio supported by you. For our freshest content, subscribe to our newsletter. Enter your email at the bottom of our website, heritageradionetwork.org. Connect with us on Instagram and Twitter at heritage_radio. You can also find us at facebook.com/Heritage Radio Network. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization driving conversations to make the world a better, fairer, and more delicious place. And we couldn't do it without support from listeners like you. Want to be part of Food World's most innovative community? Subscribe to shows you like, tell your friends, and please join the HRN family by becoming a member. Just click on the beating heart at the top right of our homepage. Thanks for listening.